We're going to continue on our season of teaching on prayer. So I'm not going to make any excuse for this, but it's a subject that I'm actually feel quite passionate about. That's not because I'm good at it or know all there is to know about it. In fact, I'm probably pretty bad when compared to how much there is to learn and grow in it, the area. But it's because I see it as the most powerful, life-changing activity that we can engage with. That's how I see it. It's the catalyst for bringing transformation to us, to others, and our community and nation. History actually shows us this. If you look at some of the big spiritual awakenings, we won't go into that, the big revivals, all of them began in prayer. Prayer was an important part of it. So one thing that I'm quite inspired by was a guy called Zinzendorf, and who was part of a 100-year prayer movement. And as a result of their the move of God that happened within that community, they transformed pretty well the face of the earth in terms of mission. And they, as a result of that prayer, it led forth to mission. It's not about the names, though, the big names behind all these like revivals. Because there's a lot of people you don't hear about who spent their lives in prayer and sacrificed themselves in prayer. Thanks for the backing music. That's brilliant. It's all right. It's fine. Love it. Actually, I was at something once where constantly there was music going on deliberately, thought it was a good idea, but I found it really hard to concentrate. It's just my age, I think. Anyway, when I was at school, which is a long time ago now, probably about 15 or 16 at the time, I was asked if I would lead the Christian Union. And it was pretty dead, to be honest. It was, I'd been a few times, so that was good. and I think they were pretty desperate, so they asked me. And I decided to give it a go. Back then, I may have taken a few more risks than I do now, but I didn't think about the consequences. I just said, yep, I'll give it a go. And I didn't know what to do or where to start. I was, 15, 16 years old. But I felt, after praying, I felt I should ask a couple of people, a couple of friends at school who I knew were Christians, to join me in praying. And so we got together at lunchtimes on a Monday. There's only about three of us. And we just started praying. And we did that for a number of weeks. We prayed for our friends. We prayed for the school. We didn't advertise it at all. But gradually, over the weeks, more and more people joined us. That's all we did. We were just kids praying for our friends at school. That's all we were doing. Then something completely miraculous happened. And this is not what we did. We prayed, but it was what God did as a result of our prayers. But over the next few weeks, after that time, the Christian Union, which met on a Tuesday, just started to grow. Week on week, from about five people to nearly 200. And that's why it was like a mini revival. It just broke out. And we were running to catch up with it. It was like, what are we doing? We didn't know what to do. And we were asked by the school to do all sorts of things. People came in to inquire what was going on. And, we suddenly had to put in some organization around this because we didn't really, know what we were doing. And then we got invited by other schools. In fact, I remember being in a classroom up there in Clevedon School and standing in the classroom and people asking, what is it you're doing? And I said, I don't know. We don't know. It's just we started praying. Now, I say that because I don't see it as a formula, but I see it as the fact that when we pray, God does stuff. God does stuff. And I just want to inspire you. I'm so grateful that God took me through that experience at that time. And I know sometimes it can take a lot longer time of praying before you see the breakthrough. I know that. And so I'm just grateful to God's grace that He came and showed up, and some amazing things happened. I haven't got time to go into it all that. But But there is, I feel there is a groundswell of prayer, and it's not just me, there's others who are saying that. At the moment, God is putting his finger on prayer. And there's an emphasis on prayer at the moment. And Justin Welby, the Archbishop, has called for a great wave of prayer for evangelism during Pentecost, which is why on May the 9th to the 15th or 16th, we are joining with others across the country. In fact, he's written to every parish priest to ask them to pray, to have a week of prayer in their church. So we're joining with others to pray for this nation and to pray for evangelism, to pray for God's kingdom to come. It's called Thy Kingdom Come. So we're not on our own in doing that. It's going to be an exciting time. We're going to be part of tens of thousands of others praying. And we're going to see some great stuff happen as a result. Amen. There's also, and we saw it, for those who were here a few weeks ago, we just saw a quick video on this ambitious project that a few of us are involved in to build a national landmark of that represents 1 million answered prayers in this country. So that when people drive past it on the motorway, they'll see, what's that? And it's they'll look it up on the internet and find out, they can search for it through 1 million prayers and find out God's goodness. So that's exciting. Prayer is like, I think, is like breathing to me. Prayer is something that, you know, like our physical bodies need oxygen and our spiritual bodies need prayer. That's how I like to. It's cyclic. There's an in and out. Our in is our connection to God, and we've heard this. Daniel's been brilliant at keeping us connected, or keep on telling us about our connection with God. It's so important, and prayer is our connection with God. That's it. That's our in, and it's only when we have that that we have the resources to give out. Now, we've had radiators fitted in our house recently, and I was turning on one of the taps, and nothing was happening. It wasn't getting hot, and I realized, which, you know, that you have to have both open. If you don't have both open, you don't get a flow. You can have the out or fully turned on, but nothing comes in. And if you don't turn the in on, or if you turn the in on and the out off, nothing gets out. There's no flow. So the heat only happens when you've got the flow. And that's the same with us, is when we're connected to God and when we discover what prayer's about, we have a flow that actually allows us to get hot. I like that analogy, because when we get hot, we become on fire, and things around us change. Prayer isn't passive; it's active. It's the very heartbeat of God. Is that there is, you know, there's times to pull away in prayer and be pressed into God, but at the other times he tells us to do things, and so there's a result, there's an active, it's a heartbeat, there's an in and there's an out. So there's a quick little joke for you here. I'm not very good at telling jokes, so I've written it down. You gotta laugh. It's not that funny, actually. I really set this up to fail, haven't I? Three preachers sat discussing the best positions for prayer while a telephone repairman worked nearby. Kneeling is definitely best, claimed one. No, another contended. I get the best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven. You're both wrong, said the third. The most effective prayer position is lying prostrate, face down on the floor. The repairman couldn't contain himself any longer. Hey, fellas, he interrupted. The best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole. And thank you for laughing. Kate said, don't tell a joke. Don't tell a joke. The point is, prayer is not a formula. Prayer is not just one method. It's not learning a technique. And if we reduce it to that, we miss the whole adventure of prayer. I'm personally not interested in techniques to make us recite prayers, to ease our conscience, or just to create a shopping list for God. I'm passionate about the life-changing, dynamic, creative, explosive nature of prayer. That's what I get excited about. I think there's something in it that actually sets us on fire and changes us and the world around us. It's when we partner with God in prayer. It's not just about us. It's that connection, partnering with God. The Holy Spirit, I like this term, the Holy Spirit then sneezes and all hell breaks loose, literally. You know, that's the type of prayer that I'm talking about. When we're connected with God and things around us change as a result of it. So how do we engage in prayer? You know, we talked a bit about prayer, but I want to give a few practical guidelines of how we can engage with prayer. So I know some of us have had a journey and a lifelong journey in prayer, and I let you know there's still more to learn. And there's those of us who perhaps really haven't really made that first step of praying, perhaps a quick prayer to God, but you're not quite sure where to go next. So I want to just give a few pointers that will hopefully help us all. So here's number one. He meets us where we are. Number one, he meets us where we are. There is no guilt in this journey. It's just the Father's love for us and his desire to relate. That's what it's motivated. There is no guilt in prayer. If you feel guilty for not praying enough or whatever, then take that to God. And get rid of it, because that doesn't come from him. He loves us, and his desire is to relate. That's what's motivated by. God leads us. His Holy Spirit will lead us step by step. So the great thing is, you don't have to understand all there is to know about prayer to start. There are stages in a relationship, in any relationship, and that's okay. That's healthy. So don't try and assess your prayer life based on someone else's. You know, be inspired, but don't set it as levels of how, you know, well you're performing in your prayer life. Just start where you're at today. Start simple. Number two, start simple. Jesus teaches us to come to the Father like little children. That's what he says, come like little children. Now, I know he talks about us being, in other places, being his brothers and sisters. Well, brothers and sisters and friends, but there is this bit of teaching. He says, come like little children. And what does that mean? How do children come to a loving parent? Well, they come with honesty, openness, expectancy, imagination. Just imagine a child coming to their parent, and that's how God wants you to come. Be honest. Don't start by trying to pray for 3 hours every day and fail. Engage with something you're able to do. But the important thing here is start, if you haven't, or do something. Don't do nothing. And I'm not saying, you know, do something impossible. But do something to engage in prayer, because that's how you start your journey in prayer. It's good to be intentional. Sometimes even put a time in your diary. If that's going to be helpful to you, say, right, I'm going to put some time in my diary, and that's going to be my step. I'm going to just put 15 minutes, and I'm going to just spend some time with God, maybe read, maybe just talk to him quietly. But I love this quote from Corrie ten Boom. Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. So don't do it just on feelings. I mean, that was one of the words this morning, is just... you know, we don't just praise God and thank God when we feel like it. In fact, thanking God is the vehicle for us to actually experience a change in his joy. So sometimes we have to do it when we don't feel like it. But that was great this morning, just to spend time thanking God and getting into his presence. Number three, this is what I call move on from the slot machine. That's what I'm titled it. Move on from the slot machine. We can often just focus on prayer as what we can get out of it, a little bit like a slot machine. You put your prayer in and you're expecting something out. And we can, and this I think is a big point, is a lot of people's experiences are they measure prayer by the answers they get. They measure how good or how effective prayer is. And if they don't get the answers, they say, prayer, doesn't do it for me. Well, prayer is more than asking God just to do things for you. This is another quote from a guy called Richard Foster, who's written some amazing books on prayer, pretty meaty books. I bought one once. I thought, that looks interesting. And I got about 3 pages in. It was really deep. But if you're into the deep stuff and you want to find out more, Richard Foster has produced some great books on prayer. Answers to prayer, this is what he says, answers to prayer are wonderful, but they are secondary to the main function of prayer, which is a growing, perpetual communion. It is out of this refreshing life of communion with Jesus Christ that answered prayer comes as a happy byproduct. So all I'm just saying, pointing that point out there, is perspective on how we engage with prayer. Prayer is more than just a slot machine, asking God for your list of needs and judging it as to whether he answers or not. Okay, there are also, I'm not getting into the reasons of when, you know, when God answers, when we don't experience the answers to some of our prayers. There's all sorts of that, and that's a big, deep subject we'll cover some other time. But at the moment, I'm just putting that seed in there. It's more than that. It's communion with God. And answered prayers come as a result of that communion. Number four, find out what's on God's heart. That's one of my little tips for you. Find out what's on God's heart when you pray. We will find on this journey of prayer, we will find that prayer becomes less about us. And don't get me wrong, the Father is deeply interested in us. And he loves us to bits. He's very interested in every little aspect of our life. And there's no problem in talking to God about how you feel and all those things. I'm not saying that. But as we journey in prayer, what we will start to find is that our prayers become less about just us and more about what God's interested in, because it's a relationship, and we'll start to find out a little bit more on what's on God's heart. Our perspective will start to change. And as we do that, we will start to find that our prayers are more about others as well, because God, the Father, is interested in others. So find out, that's my little encouragement, find out what's on God's heart. Ask him when you're praying, God, what's on your heart today? And then listen, see what he says. Now, he might just put a thought in your mind. He might lead you to a Bible passage. You might just have a name of somebody drop into your mind. Just somebody, and that, don't dismiss that. That is the Holy Spirit just dropping that name in your mind. That's who he wants you to think about and pray about, that person. So, in fact, I just check. I'm going to stop in a minute because I've got some questions. I always do this. I can just get on to the next point. Number five. Be creative. Along the journey, we may encounter different forms of prayer. So I'm going to rush in about 3 minutes through just some very, very summary things. And these are all things that we can explore at later points. And even this evening, if you can get along to starting point, we can explore some of this in more detail. But one, giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians says, 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So one way of praying is giving thanks, and we did that this morning. Okay. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's another verse, Psalm 104. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. So we can start by thanking God, and that takes us into his presence. So number two, petitioning and supplication. Now this is another type of form of prayer. Supplication is basically humble petition. It's humbling yourself, and that is presenting requests. So, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread," that's a request. And Philippians 4:6-7. I'm going to rush through these verses. We might get them up, but do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, you see that thanksgiving's in there, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds That is God's promise, that he will bring you peace. So that might be your answer in there. Sometimes persistence is required, and the Bible talks about persisting in prayer. That's another whole subject, and sometimes we do have to keep persisting. Number three in this forms of prayer is repenting. That's another type of prayer. We may need to sometimes repent, basically, for things that the Holy Spirit has shown us. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Number four, intercession. That's another form of prayer. Again, I'm just touching on these. Prayer is basically prayer for the needs of others, but it's about understanding God's will and refusing to let go. Getting to that place of understanding God's will, refusing to let go, and contending and battling, often in spiritual warfare. But that's something, that's a whole other area, but God sometimes, the Holy Spirit can sometimes lay that prompting to draw people into intercession, and if that's something that you feel that you're wanting to get involved in, then you can learn more about that, and we'll hopefully be able to spend more time in Starting Point or something like that, looking into those subjects more. This is one I like, number five. I call it conversational prayer. That's how I term it, because it's just about chatting. And that's personally one I find myself doing all the time. I chat to God during the day, through moments in the day. And sometimes I find, most of the time it's in my head. Sometimes I find my mouth moving, and it has caused me to be embarrassed in a few situations, but some interesting moments. But conversations. You know, on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to a few of the disciples walking to Emmaus, and he just started chatting with them and talking with them. Relating with them. That's another form of prayer. Here's another one, number six. I'm going to have to hurry up. Silent prayer. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but it could be, there's different forms of that, but what I mean by silent prayer is you can be in the presence of God and spend time with him and not actually be talking words out to him, and it's like you can engage with him in your sort of spirit and in your heart and in your thoughts, but not actually be speaking words, and that's a form of prayer. Sometimes people call it contemplative prayer and things like that as well. But listening in prayer. So Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So there is, it's not just us praying and speaking to God. There is a listening in prayer. Part of prayer is listening. As we said, there's tongues, and we'll talk more about that again another time. Again, in Starting Point, we've done a session on that. There's declaration in praying God's words. So that's, if you don't know where to start, this is a good one. So find something in the Bible. So here's one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's declaring what's already in the Bible and making that your prayer. Sometimes I find that's just such a great thing to be able to do in a situation or for a particular day when you know you're going to face some things. Find out what the Bible says and use that as your prayer for that day. Another one, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Great declaration. Another form of prayer is actually an art. People can express their prayers to God through paintings and sculpture and songs. So it's not just limited to words. Prayers of faith and for healing. We've heard about, someone mentioned it this morning, about prayers of faith. But the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And there's prayers individually as well. We can pray individually. There's an example where Jesus several times withdrew himself to go and pray with the Father one-to-one. And sometimes that is really helpful for us. And we all need to spend time praying individually, but other times as praying together. And again, Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So praying together. And Jesus' followers met together in Acts 1:14. They say they agreed they were in this for good. This is from the Message. This is the disciples. They agreed they were in this for good. And they're completely together in prayer. Love the last bit. The women included. Women are included in this. Of course. And children. We're all included. So maybe just ask the Holy Spirit to bring one of those. I've thrown out lots of different things, but maybe ask the Holy Spirit to bring one of those to mind that you can perhaps think about exploring as a step in prayer. So one practical thing, and then we're going to have some questions. We've got 15 minutes just for questions. So one practical thing, I want to invite you to join me in a very practical thing. And others around the world, because this is something that 24/7 prayer, a lot of people in 24/7 prayer do. Who has a mobile phone? Most people, okay. If you can work out how to do it, you can set an alarm on your phone, even if it's a silent one, for midday, 12 o'clock. And you can join me and many others around the world, and at that time, when that goes off, it reminds us to pray. And I'd say start with praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, it could be at work, it could be wherever you are. You could be just quietly, just stop for a moment, I don't know, go to the toilet, whatever you want to do, and just pray the Lord's Prayer silently. And just think, it's just thinking about it, just that moment of connection with God. See what he says, pray the Lord's Prayer. He might guide you into other things, but pray the Lord's Prayer. If you're with others at the time that you can join with, pray it together. But know that it's just an idea that I'm going to throw out there, but if we do that, we can all be scattered around in different places, but at that one moment in time, we're praying together. And I think that's a very powerful thing.